Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now it's my great pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Hiroshi Ono. He's a professor here at the university. He specializes in happiness science, work and labor trends, and also he's an expert on COVID-19 and how it affected work. But I'm here today to ask him about the effects of the workplace, the implications in the workplace of the aged population in Japan. And it's a very interesting, is it not, Mr. Hiroshi, that the acceleration of the aged population in Japan has been quite acute and much faster than other international countries.
Yeah, that's right. So Japan is aging at an extremely rapid rate. In fact, that may be the fastest rate in history. And so we were unprepared for this situation, right? And this is a combination of increasing life expectancy and declining fertility. So the proportion of the old people in the population has increased over time.
And the reasons around the older people as a percentage of the population, in other words, why has fertility decreased? Is it because there are more women having to go back to the workplace? I know there seems to be a misnomer out there in the world that the Japanese population is all men who go to work and housewives who stay at home. But you inform us that that isn't the case.
So I think that in the post-war period, there was a time when there was a complete division of labor between men and women, right? So the men are typically working at the office and the women are staying at home, taking care of the housework and taking care of the kids. But this started to change in the 1990s. Women started to enter the labor force, and this is also the time when we started to experience fertility decline, right? And so there is a negative correlation, typically, not just in Japan, but in all countries, where the increase in labor force participation of women is negatively correlated with the fertility.
One of the other big factors is the mandatory retirement at 60. And I think maybe you might just walk us through that, because that in itself, and the fact that most Japanese people don't move from company to company, so they stay with one company for the duration of their employment. And then mandatory retirement is at 60. So the fact then that somebody is the third, I suppose, leg of that stool is the seniority system. So the longer you stay, the more you get paid, the less likely you're to leave.
Right.
So our listeners will be very interested in that kind of equation.
So we do have a pretty strong seniority system here in Japan, and by definition it is a system, a compensation where your wages go up automatically with age and tenure, right? So we also call it a backloaded wage system, because the longer you stay, the bigger the payoff from staying in that company, right? So this is, at the same time, encourages long-term employment, because if you change jobs in between, then you typically might end up with lower wages somewhere else, right? So it's almost like the older you get, you're kind of locked into the system. But there comes a point where you do get kicked out, because the older employees do tend to be overpaid. Right, and the mandatory retirement age, currently set at 60, is a way to force these employees out of the system so that the companies can relieve themselves from the financial stress.
What about the ratio of young people, I suppose, to older people in terms of who's supporting who? if you've got our young people in Japan somewhat dissatisfied and maybe frustrated that there isn't enough opportunity for them because of this system, and do they see older people as a kind of a logjam in the system?
There is some of that as well. So another reason that we have mandatory retirement is that without it, the older people would stay in the system because they're overpaid. And if the older people don't leave the employment system, then the younger people will not be able to get jobs.
Yeah.
So mandatory retirement really prevents the older people from depriving the opportunities for young people to get work.
So if you retire at 60 and the average life expectancy is now, what, 85? That's 25 years. Are there examples of poverty, age poverty, when somebody retires, that they don't have enough money to sustain them to the typical age of death?
Yes, we do have incidents of older people in poverty, but overall the inequality in Japan is pretty low compared to other countries. So I would not say that that is a major problem among the elderly. But, you know, as you say, people retired age 60, life expectancy is 85. 25 years is a long time to go on pensions.
Yeah. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, traditionally, young people will leave an area and maybe go to the city for jobs. Mm-hmm. And when we're looking at the aged population, does it mean that in a lot of small villages and towns in rural Japan, that there are just old people living there?
Well, unfortunately, that is rather true. We in the countryside and the remote areas of Japan, we have a problem of depopulation, where the population is shrinking over time, alarmingly.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a generational divide where the old people stay and the young people leave. Tokyo is one of the few areas in Japan where we have a net positive migration, internal migration, where the population is rising because people do want to come to the big cities. But I think in the remote areas, yes, the depopulation is a big problem.
And maybe I could ask you as well about other things that maybe, you know, this trait is showing itself. If you look at about how people shop here in Japan, there's 60,000 odd convenience stores. Are they stocking their shelves really based on an older demographic, that there's older people coming into the shops to buy? Are their opening hours affected? Things like that, that changes how retail works.
Right, so to give the example of convenience stores, the convenience stores have been in operation since the 1980s. And over this time, we've already increased a significant demographic shift with the older population becoming bigger and the younger population becoming smaller. And this has certainly changed the supply of the stores, what they stock in the stores. And I think maybe the bigger change might be that we have less stores that are open 24 hours because the older people tend to go to bed earlier than the younger people.
So given your studies around this, is Ireland going to be facing the same problem, just that Japan has got there quicker?
Well, the reason that I'm, you know, speaking to the foreign media a lot these days is because a lot of the countries outside of Japan are interested in what their country is going to look like, and they are aware. A short answer to that is that yes, you will be here pretty soon, in the sense that all countries are saving basically the same demographic trends, which is declining fertility and longer life expectancy, right? Ireland, when I last looked, is in relatively good shape. You have a lower median age and a pretty robust working population and a fertility of 1.7, which is pretty high even among the OECD countries. So you might not get there immediately, but in 10, 20 years, you will certainly face this aging population issue.
I also noted in your bio that you're an expert around COVID-19 and its effects in the workplace. Did Japan recover from COVID differently to other nations? What are the big changes in society that have resulted, I suppose, post-COVID?
So Japan is known as a relatively inflexible culture, right? So like in terms of work, we have certain ways of doing things, certain ways of working, and this has always been the case. But when I talk about COVID, I say it was a blessing in disguise, because it made Japanese people realize that we don't have to follow these rules.
Yeah.
And we can be a little bit more flexible. Now, for example, before COVID, companies didn't believe in remote work, right? They said, well, work has to be done in the office with documents, it has to be done face-to-face, etc. So these are quite restrictive rules. But with COVID, it made people realize that they can work from home, they can be just as effective, and even business transactions can be taken care of online, right? So I think that was a good impetus for Japan to kind of overcome these, you know, rigid ways of working.
Absolutely. Well, look, it's really fascinating to look at this issue, because it is, as you say, Japan has just got there first. These are issues that are going to face all societies. So your work and your research, you know, and your lecturing on these subjects are very important. So we thank you, Professor, for joining us today, and we wish you well in your research.
Thank you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.